lad with two heads got run over.
Series 2, episode 40 of the Ricky Gervais Show on XFM. On today's episode of the Carly Pilk Boys, I'm David Ferrier.
With Stephen Merchant.
Zach, what's your Heat Magazine style headline for this show?
Ricky Gervais has a career change. WWE! Is it
next
called that anymore?
What's
it? Yeah, it's called WWE. Now, back it probably would have been WWF. If we want to be accurate to the time.
But then the World Wildlife Foundation took them to the mat.
Why
got
didn't
a three count?
They
and
do.
They changed it to WWE.
Some type of collaboration. Get the pandas in the ring.
Oh yeah. Are they wrestling? Are they mating?
You decide.
You be the judge. This episode was broadcast the 31st of May, 2003. Last show was on the 17th, so it's been two weekends. I originally thought this was a best of, but it's not. They have just taken a week off, but not done a best of in the middle. Number one on the UK chart, still Ignition, remix by R. Kelly. Movies released the day before. The bloody website didn't work for me. I showed you, Zach. I can't tell everyone what movies came out on the 30th of May, 2003. Personally, I'm devastated by that because that was just about my favorite part of the show.
Let's have a guess. I'm going Marley and Me.
I'm going Shallow Hal.
Yeah, cool. Two crackers. Hey, which one's my headphones?
Number one.
Okay.
Marley and Me was released in 2008, so you're way off.
Okay.
Shallow Hal, 2001. So I'm off as well, but a little closer. So I put it out there on the Patreon. People, did anyone have any thoughts, feelings about this episode? And I did copy and paste them, but we're in a bit of a rush, so I don't know where I put it. Oh, here we go.
Good start.
First of all, Simon says, I can't see 2022 Ricky ever being as fun as the wrestling in his living room Ricky from this episode. There's just a real playful joy he has in the XFM era. Simon, I bloody well agree with you.
The wrestling is strange, don't you think? I guess I wasn't shocked by the wrestling. I was shocked by the filming. That was like the idea of his partner. Like, do they start wrestling? And then in the background, she goes, oh, this will be funny to go film. Or does he say, Jane, go get the camera?
Yeah, he says in the episode, all right, Jane, go on, go get the camera. And then he took his shirt off.
I won't start until you're back and we're ready. And then what happened to back then? I guess it was probably on little DV tapes.
Yeah.
What happened to those tapes? Why was he filming it to watch back later?
Release the wrestling tapes. That happens with Brooke. She'll get like something, we'll be doing something, and then she'll get the camera out. She's like, and I'll go, what are you doing? She says she wants to film. And I say, for what? We're not going to go back and watch it.
Well, I understand.
She just enjoys capturing it because you never know.
I understand my wife has all home movies from when she was a kid, which are cool because like, yeah, it was probably a similar time, you know, you had to film it on a tape. And yeah, they're really cool and nostalgic, and it's cool to see the family as kids. So I understand in a looking back on, oh, look how young we were. Is that what Ricky's doing? And like now when he's sitting in his, where's he living? In his New York apartment.
Or is he on the Heat.
Does he have a pile of old wrestling videos? He goes, yeah. Oh, look how tough I was.
His character in Afterlife is watching a seemingly endless amount of videos of his deceased partner. But the real Ricky Gervais is sitting in the bathtub watching videos of him wrestling the commissioning editor of comedy from Channel 4
well, that's the
in
other
2003.
Thing. Not only was he into it, but this other guy was. Who's like this, like, assumably a really professional guy.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Lured him over, got him pissed up, and before he knew it, he was wrestling Ricky Gervais on a living room floor.
And maybe that's how they some of these got commissioned. He was like, if I can pin you, you've got to give
me a show.
You've
got to let me do Derek, because that is what he did on Channel 4. Look, there's a lot of stuff that Ricky does and finds immense joy in that it's not what I would do, but I do find his joy for his ridiculousness and his enthusiasm to tell everyone about, you know, the way he sets Carl up to tell that story. I do find it just incredibly infectious.
The irony, though, is the whole show's built around like how strange Carl is. And that kind of takes the gravitational pull away from Ricky. But like in another show, it'd be like, what?
Yeah.
He's so shameless about it. He is
He doesn't invite any space to question it.
Well, because, yeah, I guess, yeah, if you're just going to be like, if you're not going to have any reaction, what can someone do? Because they go like, oh, well, that's a bit strange. And he goes, yeah, so what?
Yeah.
It's like, well, what are you going to do with it?
Nick said, great that Steve got a good squeeze in on Carl's head this week. Also, I love how Carl picks Peter Kay to have dinner at his dinner party to wind Ricky up. It's a great little subtle dig he throws in there. There's no car at Pump 4 is one of the funniest Monkey News moments as well. Agree. It's infamous. It's right up there with the bank robbery one, the monkey that hopped in the car and legged it to Spain. Before we move on, one follow-up from last week. Chris said today could... I'll skip the first part. He said... no, I'll read out a compliment to us. Hey, Brooke. love the insights into Aussie radio. I listened to daily to the Nova Drive show up until Marty Sheargold left. Me too, Chris. Then re-listen to all the episodes again. Tim Blackwell is the best. So if anyone that out there is keen to check out some Australian radio, particularly listeners in the UK and the US, whatever, it's still a good show now. Kate, Tim and Joel, comedian Joel Creasy took over. But I'm with Chris. That run with Marty Sheargold, I listened every single day. I might have said this last week. Apologies if I'm repeating myself. I listened to the podcast every day, I think, for about 5 years straight.
Yeah.
It was a great... It was the slickest show. And again, we did talk about this last week. So slick, but also very like poking fun at the tenants, the expectations of a regular radio show, which is sort of what Ricky this show does in a different way.
Certainly. And also a combination that you're not usually they're very, the roles on radio shows are very cut and dry. Usually have an anchor,
a reality star,
more often than
and
not,
a sports athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are some archetypes, but also usually male comedian, woman, that could be a few roles, but it's, they rarely give it to comedians, but it's usually like, yes, socialite or reality star.
The relatable personality.
Actor sometimes. Yeah, relatable. But that show, Kate, Tim and Marty, bucked that trend a little bit by also shifting in and out of generations. So you had an older, grumpy guy.
Yeah.
Younger, slick guy. Younger. Yeah. Like Kate Ritchie's like a kind of national icon.
Kate Ritchie from Home and Away. Might be sound familiar to some UK listeners. She is on a national drive show here in Australia. She's taking some time off at the moment. Did you know that? She's taking the rest of the year off.
Mm.
But she'll be, and Ricky Lee is filling in, but she'll be back next year. But yeah, that dynamic, I mean, like it's the kind of show where if a caller was bad, Marty would say, never call the show again. Which is just so not something that you're supposed to do. Or Tim would throw to a caller and they would stumble and go, oh, hello? Like they wouldn't realize they were connected. Tim would just without fail slip into the connection issues game where he'd start pretending he can't hear them.
A great segment they did was Shovel Karaoke.
Yeah.
Where so people had to call up and start singing their favorite song. And then they had like a kind of like a shovel hitting a wall, I guess, sound effect. And they'd just play that and then drop the line halfway through. It's kind of like watching funniest home videos. People falling over is funny.
It somehow brought physical comedy to radio. Like just the ended up being this natural comedic rhythm to like, all right, Zach, take it away. And dunk. You know, that was originally called Shotgun Karaoke, but then I think a school shooting ruined that.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, think about it now. It's actually quite, as I explained it out loud, I'm like, this is quite violent.
Well, violent sounds, violent, so, yeah, thanks, Nick. No, Chris. We've got one new executive producer we need a nickname for.
Can I just say on that, just thinking about it now though, do you think that's intrinsic to humans? Because my daughter is two and she watches The Wiggles and there's a character that always falls over. She finds it hilarious. What is it? Like, she hasn't learnt that. No one's shown her that's funny. So there's something about people falling over that's funny.
Farts and physical comedy, the only two types that never age. That's why you can still watch the Marx Brothers or...
Buster Keaton.
Three Stooges.
But what do you think about... what do you think that is? Is it like... Is it some type of evolutionary thing where it's like, that's not
I
me?
I don't know.
Like, is it like, it's funny because I'm not the one in danger? Or is it funny because it's like, I know what it would be like to be in danger, so it's risky?
It's funny to watch people hurt themselves? I don't know.
Or is it funny to because you know they're not hurt? Because you know it's a joke. So it's funny that there's that kind of contrast.
I do love to chuck on occasionally a fail compilation.
Oh,
there's a whole industry. Those people must be making millions. The fail compilations, the fail vids on YouTube, huge numbers. But there's some where they throw up a little Chiron at the bottom saying no one was hurt.
Yeah.
But I'm like, how do you know?
I know.
That there's looks like they've been seriously injured. Person,
I saw one like, you know, like base jumping and stuff like that. I'm like, there's no way that person's not hurt.
Uh-huh.
Well, do you follow Kook Slams?
Yes, love
which
it.
Is like a surfing fail.
Instagram.
And they post new. I start my morning every day watching five of those clips of someone on the beach getting smashed by a shore break.
That's what it always is. And it's the my favorite is when it is some like an influencer getting their photo taken and then a little shore break pops out of nowhere.
That's good.
And just cleans them up.
I love a big someone going over the falls on a big board, nose diving. Been there.
I don't know if any psychologists out there, why do humans love watching other humans fall
and
over?
I wonder if like monkeys find that funny, because I know monkeys have a sense of humor. What's funny to a monkey?
Yeah. Probably. I know it's funny watching that monkey sniff his butt and then fall out of the tree. We've got one new EP that we need a commercial radio style nickname for. I'm going to just go with the name that he's offered.
I'm not sure
if it's on his birth certificate, but this is the name he would like to go by on the show. That name is Wayne King. Are you a fan of Wayne King, Zach?
Is this the new boss?
No, this is a EP.
Okay.
We do need a new content director, by the way. We just, Austin Dawkins just stepped down, so we have an opening. If you would like the fourth ever and fourth of five, because I've only made five, A4 copy of the Carl's Childhood illustration that Zach and I will write a little message to you on the back, be our content director. Sign up, get the drawing, and then change tiers so you're not charged $40 a month. But yes, that position is
you
open.
You know, Mr. King, this might be his real name.
Well, it's not.
It's not, you don't think? Well, because there was always rumors at my school. Did you have this? Like, everyone knew an actual Wayne Carr.
Uh-huh.
Like, C-A-R-R.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was always like, oh, such and such his brother. Because there was a Carr in my grade, like someone Carr. And they're like, his cousin's name's Wayne. Thinking about it now, I don't know. Surely, you probably wouldn't do that, would you? If you were, like... Maybe like with the nurses, if you went to have that name, would someone go like, do you understand what
you
that
sure?
means?
Yeah, be, nothing wrong with
the
wanker.
Like, oh, well.
It's totally healthy.
Good for the prostate.
Great. My girlfriend just walked back in. Great time to walk back in.
I noticed when Brooke went past before, she was trying not to intrude, and she was ducking like you would to avoid a camera.
Yeah, this is our podcast studio / office / there's an ensuite bathroom that Brooke is. It's we have two bathrooms. I know, fancy.
And so you've
informally that is Brooke's bathroom.
So you have like his and hers.
Yeah, I've got all my crap in the small one.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that's another edition of Bathroom Chat.
Could we upload the layout of your apartment to
sure.
Patreon?
Sure.
Just so people can.
It's exactly like the Seinfeld apartment, only with an extra bathroom. No, I live in a fire station. It's fun. No fire pole, though. So, Wayne King. Wayne the...
Is there something in master? You know, the master debater or something?
Wayne the master debater king.
Debate isn't really...
Wayne the wank king?
Debating isn't really something that you do on the radio. Master King.
Wayne the debater king.
Yeah, you could do that. I reckon the master. That's better because it's more general.
There you go. We've added layers. We've added another masturbation wordplay.
That was another one. That was another high school one where it's like, are you good at debating? And they'd be like, yeah. Would you say you're the master? You know how you try to trick people into...
And then I'd say, yeah, sure.
So you're saying you're a master debater.
Classic.
Oh, no. No. You've caught me. I've been sprung by your superior intellect.
The most confusing one in earlier primary school was, would you rather have dollars or cents?
Well, dollars.
Well, that must mean you don't have a sense of humor.
Go on. We talked about the pen club on this podcast before, haven't we?
Probably, but...
That was where, hey, do you want to be a part of the pen club? Look. And I'd hold up my hand and I'd have written on it pen and then number 9 next to it or something. So you go, because I'm a part of the pen club and I'm the 9th member. And you'd go, oh, okay, yeah, cool. I want to be a part of the pen club. And you'd go to write it on their hand and then you'd go, oh, well, you're the 15th member. So you'd write 15 after pen. But of course, when they're put together, very cleverly, you've now written penis on their hand.
We did it, guys. Did you ever have the wuss test? This is a highly toxic, problematic thing that was getting around my primary school. Around the turn of the century. It was seeing how long you could scratch the back of your hand.
Oh, jeez.
And the worse the wound that you created, the tougher you are.
No, but we had blood knuckles. That was where you put your knuckles on the desk. Oh, yeah. And then you get a coin and you take turns firing the coin into your knuckles until, like, I don't know who wins. If you bleed first, yeah. I don't know if you win or lose. I don't know. Like, but yeah, there was a lot of just like unnecessarily violent games.
Yeah, let's see how much we can hurt ourselves.
Punching, like just taking turns punching the arm.
Yeah.
I was never like, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm not the rough and tumble.
You weren't a part of the local fight club?
I played all the football and stuff, but oh, yeah. I was always ducking and weaving. I'd be the smart ass who would mouth off and then be like, all right, let's get the bigger guys over here. Do some of the fighting for me.
All right, welcome to the show, Wayne the Master King. Thanks for signing up. We'll get you a copy of the Carl's Childhood Illustration, a digital copy and a little postcard one sent to your house. We do need a new content director. So if you'd like, probably the 4th or 5th ever, I'm probably not going to do any more of the Carl's Childhood Illustration. I'm way overdue to do another drawing, by the way, Zach. I'm supposed to be doing the Count Mancula. I did a little draft. I put it on the Patreon. People gave feedback. Haven't come back to it because that cartoon that I've been working on for ages, it finally comes out next Monday.
Yeah, exciting.
So I've been pretty busy with that, everyone. That's my excuse. Yeah, cool. All right, let's get on with the air check. How are we going for time? We're 20 minutes in. That's about normal. The Air Checker Series 2, Episode 40, The Ricky Gervais Show on XFM, Break 1. Carl had to help Ricky get to today's show because he put his back out. And Carl found out why. Oh, that's the intro music. Let's take it from the top.
Have you ever seen a gorilla having a fight?
I think I have, yeah. Yeah.
It was like that. Him and his mate round at his place last night, decided to sort of have a bit of a wrestle.
Yes.
It went on. I mean, how much footage?
Honestly, it was like a scene from Women in Love.
Carl's power of painting pictures with his words is very strong.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Later on in Monkey News, when he's telling the story, I was thinking, and he's saying, you know, and the monkey says, all right, let's go or whatever. And, you know, he adds, dialogue for the monkey. And I was like, oh, this would be great as like a drunk history thing where they like, you know, play this out for real. And I was like, well, they kind of did that with the animations. Hey, they kind of show the scene and he voices the characters in a way.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that was almost a precursor to drunk history. I don't know if they used it as kind of inspiration, but it's kind of similar.
You heard it here first. Zach is accusing the makers of Drunk History of stealing from Carl Pilkington. If any creators of Drunk History are listening, please, we will offer up this podcast for you to respond. So he was wrestling with Ian Morris, commissioning editor of Channel 4. Not 100% sure it's the same guy, but I looked up Ian Morris. He, apparently, or a different Ian Morris, went on to create The Inbetweeners.
Wow.
Or Channel 4. And has been a part of a bunch of pretty fun and successful comedy shows. I do know that Ricky promised Derek, the character, to Channel 4. I remember reading that when the show came out. And I did think of this episode, thinking, I wonder if it was the night they were drunken wrestling on the ground that Ricky, while he had him in a leg lock, whispered in his ear, oh, I'll give you Derek.
Give me a rundown of the 1, 2, 3, 4. Is there 1, 2, 3, 4 BBC? I'm assuming if there's four, there's a 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah, no, but Channel 4 is a commercial station.
Oh, I thought it was BBC 4. Okay, that makes way more sense. So he had done The Office for BBC.
BBC 2,
Commercial stations come in and they're like, hey, we're looking. We want to get in on the Ricky Gervais.
Because Ricky was asked, like, why not do Derek for BBC? Like, you've got a long relationship. And I said, I always promised it to Channel 4. And then Netflix got involved as well. So that's how that
happened. It was in a Netflix era. See, to me, it sounds weird to have a channel it be called Channel 4, but then in Australia we have like Channel 9,
Channel 7. Channel 10.
Yeah, they're just called the number.
ABC was always Channel 2 in my house. I feel like that sort of dropped off. Yeah. Sorry.
There's less,
I went to mute my microphone to cough and then I muted yours and then just coughed into the microphones.
I guess what you'd say, like broadcast TV isn't really a thing.
Mm.
Like even we watch the ABC live stream sometimes, we just cast it from our phone though.
That's
like,
right. I remember being at your house, I think when we recorded the first episodes of this show, and I noticed that you...
How did you notice that?
Actually, I don't think I did. I think you told me. Yeah, you've told me that you don't have like an aerial.
No, it's not connected to anything. I don't know how to do it. Yeah.
Mm.
Old technology is gone.
Yeah. I still watch ads. I'll still leave the movie.
I'm saying, I'm saying I watched the stream.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
it's just casting it.
But will you won't browse and go, oh, look, they're showing Happy Gilmore on 10 Bold. I'm going to watch this.
No.
I'll do that.
Really?
I won't watch the whole thing. I will get annoyed by the ads because
sometimes
I swear they're playing
I might
more
look
than
at,
they
if it's
do.
On TV. I might go check if it's on, like, because it puts me in the mood for the Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
And then so I'll go check Netflix. I'm like, is it on Netflix? I'll just watch it now.
Brooke and I watched like 25 minutes of Minority Report the other night.
Out of, like,
you just because it was on.
But you came in halfway through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brooke hadn't seen it. And she's like, oh, this is kind of interesting.
Do you have to do a lot of the backstory?
And for that one, I just didn't because I don't remember anything.
I saw
about it.
Top Gun Maverick yesterday.
Oh, cool. It's still on at the cinema.
I know. I said to my wife, I'm like, I think it's a good one to see in the cinema.
It is.
So we should probably try to do it. And she's like, there's one cinema. We had to go at 1 PM and it was on the other side of town. But
did you see it on a big screen?
Yeah, it's big. Oh, not like a not IMAX or anything. Not a massive one. But like, you know, like a theater still.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What'd you think?
Great.
Yeah, a real fun time.
It's like propaganda, nostalgic.
Yep.
And I loved every minute
but
of
also,
it.
But also, like, just
like,
the-
it's like, I'm like, I know what you're doing. Like, it's, you know, you've got your pictures of the 80s up on the wall and stuff like that. I know the exact trick you're playing and it's working perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. But just the technological advancement, the spectacle that they were able to capture in camera.
Yeah, it's crazy.
When we're at like peak CGI and now Marvel's copying a lot of shit because their CGI is looking terrible, starting to look worse because
why
they're spreading
they?
Themselves
if
so
they
thin.
If they can get cameras inside the cockpit of fighter jets, why can't they get them in those spaceships in Marvel? No excuses.
Wow. You've blown my mind. What do you have to say to that, Kevin Feige?
How much does it make you want to be a fighter pilot, though? Like, it doesn't matter how old you are. You're like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah, it almost was too real now. Like, you saw Tom Cruise's face being pulled apart by the G's, and I went, that looks a bit intense now.
Mm.
And Miles Teller, you know, being upside down and hitting his head on the
roof
of the cabin. But yeah, definitely. What's that? Is that someone choking to death?
No, that's the maneuver they have to do to stop themselves from passing out.
Oh, the short inhale breaths.
I call them like Hicks or something. I think that's an acronym. But it's like you do this little. And I don't know what it does, but that's what you have to do to sustain the G's.
Okay.
I've looked into this, man.
We might have to do it.
In case I'm ever called to be a fighter pilot. It's like, hey, we've lost 100,000. We've lost 100,000 people. We've heard that you used to play PlayStation in 1998. The jet fighter game that came with it.
I didn't go too far into going, oh, I could be a fighter pilot, but I did look seriously into getting Flight Simulator. Because remember, I bought that PC as well recently.
And you wanted to make
I was like, oh, yeah, no, I could actually play a serious video game. But then I realized I can't play video
with,
games.
With Flight Simulators, what are you doing once you're up in the air? I can get taken off and landing's fun.
It's a Flight Simulator.
So are you just maintain the course for 8 hours over the ocean.
You're doing the flight.
But are people doing
that? You
know,
you can fly through Brisbane. You can fly along the Brisbane River and it's a fully rendered, fully realized Brisbane. It's amazing. They have real-time weather.
What, that matches the actual weather?
Yeah, so whatever the weather is in real life, it can be represented in the game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's play. After this podcast, let's do a flight simulator podcast.
I was telling you about that British show, This Country. Remember that? Mm-hmm. It's like a mockumentary about these guys who live in rural England. One of the main characters that Daisy Cooper plays, I forget the character's name, but she's trying to reconnect with her dad who lives like off-grid in a caravan, but all he has is an old PC and he loves playing flight simulators. And they do that as captain and co-captain. They'll like fly over the ocean, so they're strapping in for an 8-hour flight.
Yeah.
But the dad's taking it real seriously. He's like, co-captain, Daisy, altitude check. She's like 30,000 feet. He's like, thank you. They're in this caravan in the middle of a field.
I remember a guy I used to work with in radio. He was a music director, like took a week off and he came back and like, oh, what'd you get up to? And I just like caught up on sleep and got Flight Simulator, did a flight from Sydney to Canberra. It was pretty sweet.
I have watched like very long YouTube videos where people like post the whole trip.
Yeah.
Like people in small planes put a GoPro in the corner and then they have, it's an hour and a half trip.
In real life?
In real life.
Yeah.
They go from the Torres Strait, you know, in northern, above northern Queensland, and they're flying to Cairns or something like that. Yeah. They're like a post run delivering mail. And the guy's like commentating what he's doing the whole time. I skipped through it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was pretty interesting.
I watched that not in real time, but those like wordless, silent, it's a guy who goes on sleeper trains around the world. And it's like first class cabin on Japanese bullet train. And there's no dialogue. It's just him filming stuff with then occasionally there's captions at the bottom. Really, really good content. Really enjoy that. And the thing I've been putting on while I work now, because I like to just have something on, just, you know, when I can't stare at this screen for any longer, I want to look at a different screen. There is a guy or a girl who's sitting at the top of Double Decker Buses in London and filming from start to end of the route, just staring out the window. I am obsessed.
Wow.
Because I can just look up. It's just the ambient sound. There's no music or anything.
Yeah, I love that.
I can just look up and see a different part of London that I've never seen. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, my God, he's going through Piccadilly Circus. How interesting.
That's fascinating.
Love stuff like that.
Yeah, I've watched a few weird ones. I watched the animation of the Titanic sinking in real time.
Uh-huh.
That's 3.5 hours.
I've watched an engineer go through this giant book which has the designs of the Titanic.
Oh.
That's a good one. Because did you know the Titanic had a sister ship?
Yeah.
That was identical, that lived a long, full life, and then
I think
decommissioned.
It was kind of like rebranded a few times.
Mm, the SS Forceful, I'm pretty sure it's called.
The hat I'm wearing at the moment. No, Britannica, wasn't it?
Or is yes, that the, it sounds right, actually.
Or is that the fleet of them were called that? I don't know. Watched a lot of Titanic stuff.
This is the Titanic podcast. Like, comment, subscribe. Let's get on to break two. Sea felt bad.
Like 40 minutes in.
30, please. Steve felt bad for a French restaurant he walked past because it had no business. It stood out to me that he said it was 10 to 10 on a Friday evening.
I know.
10 to 10 on a Friday evening. That is one thing. I mean, Brisbane, an Olympic city, if it wants to become a world city, restaurants have to stay open later.
Mm.
Because Brooke just did Romeo and Juliet, like at a Shakespeare in the Park thing a couple weekends ago. All her family came to see it. I was there too. We went to get something to eat, but by the time after the show finished, changed, said goodbye, hung around a bit, it was after 9 o'clock. And I tell you what, trying to find a restaurant open after 9 o'clock in Brisbane is tough.
Yeah. I mean,
so 10 to 10.
The sun rises at 4 a.m. in the summer. It's an early rise place.
But so it does in London too.
Does it?
And the sun goes down later in, actually.
Anyway. Yeah, no, it's a sleepy city. Although I did look up last week because I was interested in English cities because they're playing the Rugby League World Cup in the north of England at the moment. And I was like, oh, how big are these cities? Outside of London, there's not really big cities in London. In England. Like the next one was like...
Manchester.
It was like 1.5 million or something.
Well, that's still decent.
Yeah, but Brisbane's 2 million. And we're talking about how it's a sleepy town.
Yeah. Yeah. It surprised me when you said that there are cities in the US with NBA teams with smaller populations.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Brisbane's in the top five cities.
But then I think...
But I wonder if there's a difference in how they do the population.
Yes,
it's like, where do you draw the line? How big is your circle? Are you going outer suburbs? And then maybe in America, they're just doing a more of a CBD thing.
And also in America, there's multiple cities in one state.
Well, here's the thing also I thought in England... I'm looking at some of these cities and they're geographically pretty close. And I'm like, we'd probably count those as one city. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
Because the city of England has 60 million people.
That's honestly, like the area that's considered Brisbane might be half the country.
Yeah. On the summer solstice, June 21 to 2022, the sun will rise in London at 4:43 a.m.
Oh, there you go.
Won't set till 9:21 p.m. I remember going to London for the first time when I was only 18, and I was staying with family friends in sort of outer London suburbs, and I went into the city because I wanted to see a West End show. So I saw Guys and Dolls with Ewan McGregor and what's her name? Krasinski? Jenna from 30 Rock. Blonde.
Oh, yeah.
They were in it.
That's great.
I was terrified that it didn't end until 10:30 at night. I wouldn't be leaving until like 10:30, thinking I'm going to walk out into these cold, dark streets in an unfamiliar foreign city. But I walked out. It was middle of summer. The sun was basically still up. There were people everywhere. I've never felt more safe in my life.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love Perth. Yeah, I love being... I felt the same thing in Tokyo. We got in at like midnight and I was like, where are we going? Everywhere we walked, there was tons of people.
Heaps of people.
And people like safety with headphones numbers. On and walking by themselves.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, geez, you must feel safe.
That's what I've said about, I grew up in Perth and I say, I feel more unsafe walking through Perth around the city at 1 o'clock in the morning than any other city I've been to, particularly the big cities, New York and what have you. Because there's no people around.
In London, when I was going to the airport to move on with our travels, it was 4 a.m. and we're on the bus. We were going through some, you know, night areas and there was a brawl on the street that we went past. And I said to my brother-in-law, I said, does that happen often? He's like, yeah, it's a bit of a problem.
Oh, okay.
So.
Depends where you are, I guess.
It depends where you are.
Like most places. Anyway, still in break two. Steve is worried about fax machines. I looked up. Fax machines are alive and well in 2022. So are vinyl records. Mm. So that's why I think radio will be okay.
Oh, it's retro.
It will. No, it'll just like... I mean, have people a place. Are still buying CDs, for Christ's sake. It'll just have its place. It won't be the same.
Well, this is what I think. Is like, how old are the cars on the road? What's the oldest car on the road?
Probably mine, 2007.
No, older than
there's
that.
Much older.
I reckon 95, before you're going into like really old cars.
Classic. Yeah.
And so what's that, 25 years? So it would take, even if driverless cars come in, even when the internet is in every car, it's going to take 20 years for that to fade out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's still going to be cars with old radios, unless... Oh, I just realized I could probably retrofit the internet quite easily. Uh-oh.
I think there's always going to be a segment of the population who don't want to put on a Spotify playlist. They just want to – they want the frictionless experience. Turn it on. Give me something.
Well, I brought today to your house my new film camera.
And there you go.
That I was thinking my parents
– we're both tragic hipsters. We both enjoy film cameras.
I was my wife bought it for my birthday and she's like, maybe you could take some photos at – our kid's birthday coming up, and I was thinking about it. I'm like, my parents would probably think that I'm mad. Like, what, you know, we technology advanced so we didn't have to do this anymore. Like, you can't see what you're shooting. You don't get an instant response. You have to send it away. It costs money. It's an inferior quality.
Arguable.
That's true.
That's the texture.
There's no warmth.
Yeah. That's what you can shout back. So here are the best fax machines of 2022, according to techradar.com.
Oh.
The number one is the Epson Workforce WF2750DWF, if you're in the market. Specifications, print speed, 33 pages per minute.
Whoa.
Not bad.
That's moving.
Scan resolution, 1200 by 240 DPI. That's huge. A photo is 300 by 300. It features print, copy, scan, fax. It weighs 6 kilos. Today's best deals, check Amazon. Let's check it. $172, get out of town.
So I guess the advantage is it's not using the internet.
Well, I think it probably would have a Wi-Fi connection.
No, but I think that's its only advantage.
Ah.
That would have to be somewhere where you didn't have the internet, but you had a phone line.
Would you still need a phone line? You would. Yeah, for
that's the whole idea, right? It's coming through the phone line instead of the internet. Because if you had the internet, you'd just print. Like you'd send the file and you'd print it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's extra steps.
So I guess in a place where you couldn't get the internet, maybe a fax machine would be helpful, but I can't imagine any other context. There might be a very niche industry that someone's a part of that like, no, it has to be faxed.
Mm-hmm. I feel like mechanics and stuff are still sending invoices and that sort of stuff to suppliers and
just mechanics?
Is anyone using a fax machine? Leave a comment below.
You know those mechanics love a fax machine. One, they love grease. Engines and fax machines.
Combustion engines and fax machines. If anyone's using a fax machine, please leave a comment below this episode.
Oh, I wonder if with electric motors, you know how we're so worried about radio going out of fashion. Are mechanics worried?
Yes.
They are.
Well, I've got a good friend who owned and ran a mechanic and second used car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally called, he took it over from his dad. It was his dad's business. It's got their surname in the business. He took it over, father, son. He sold out about 3 or 4 years ago because the Toyota RAV4 hybrid came out and he went, this is fucked. There's no future.
Because you could, one might say like, oh, well, could you transition to maintaining electric motors, but I imagine like the company who makes them will do all of that.
They're bringing it more in-house. Yeah. That's like Apple with like their phones. They're designing them specifically so they can't be repaired.
Bastards!
You have to take it back to Apple. You can't take it to... Same thing with cars.
Right to repair.
I heard that's... Yes, the whole thing. I heard some sort of stat like in a combustion engine, there's 250 moving parts. Right, and any one of them can go wrong. In a electric vehicle, there's one battery, and that's the only thing that powers the car. Of course, there's all the other bits and pieces around it. So it is like stuff like that makes it a real no-brainer for me. It's like, yeah, why we've been putting up with these piece of shit engines that just break in a million different ways,
inefficient.
Yeah, whereas we could have this one battery, which, oh, by the way, when you plug it in at night, it can power your house.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, where are we? Are we still in break two? Yes, we are.
Let's get moving.
Carl's mum still sends him letters. That's adorable. Break three, we hear about Steve's early days wearing glasses, going up to the board in the class because he didn't want to admit that he needed glasses. It's tough being a kid.
Yeah, it's funny now because love glasses.
Yeah, that me too.
I'm like, I have a theory that every person looks better in glasses.
Yes, me too. I'm so with you. Both my parents, mum wore glasses all her life. Dad needed glasses from about the age of 40. And I'm just sitting here going, can't wait.
I've thought about getting my eyes tested just to, I'm like, even maybe even just a low magnification. Like, do I need just a little bit, guys? Like, blue light, even. Just give me something that I can justify go getting some glasses.
I had my eyes tested recently for that exact purpose, yeah. And the test came back too good. They were like, you just don't need glasses.
Oh, you're like, check please. Again. Because I can't. I'll splash some salty, dirty water in them.
I do draw the line at wearing those, like, fake glasses or yeah, blue light
I can't
glasses,
do that either.
Because that's just a bit
my wife
posery.
Wears glasses, like, at work, never at home. I'm like, wear them at home.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Come on. Steve used to... Oh, so Steve got his cool prescription sunglasses and Ricky stitched him up. I think this is hilarious.
Here they are. And as he was getting out to try and embarrass Steve, I went to him. They are the exact ones that Keanu Reeves uses in The Matrix, aren't they? what? I went, no, I'm joking.
So funny. I used to really want the phone from The Matrix. Yeah, you know, like the little one that flips down.
Yeah. Is that a real phone?
It was, yeah. Mm. Yeah. It wasn't Nokia. It was like one of the, like Ericsson or something.
Motorola.
Mm. Break four. They came in yesterday to plan the show and they saw a guy with a tattooed face and Ricky has another dropping his monocle in shock moment.
So conservative. I guess it was a different time.
Yeah.
But I'm like, everyone has neck tattoos now.
People have face tattoos.
Yeah,
it's way more common putting like the Apple logo on your face, like that singer guy. And
would you consider, would you say like on the neck and behind the ear, would you consider that, you wouldn't say face, but it's in the head region.
Yeah.
So many people have tattoos behind their ear.
It's in the difficult to conceal realm.
Well, my barber has like the Star Wars Resistance.
Oh, yeah.
Like
that's
kind of logo
cool.
Behind his ear. And I was like, you know, what I'm saying is like that's not particularly – that's like a pop culture reference. That's not a gang sign.
Yeah.
So it's not as if it's like just tough bikies
well,
anymore.
It is if you're in the part of the empire. That's quite inflammatory. So they start talking about shit tattoos. Tattoo Stan comes up and Auntie Nora, Kyle says massaging her was like putting his hands in a bowl of Cocoa Pops. Then in break five – they circle back to more tattoo stuff. We hear about the lady who ended up with Physco instead of Psycho. And then again, they really denigrate tattoo artists. They say they're tattooists. English is not probably not their speciality.
Well, I was going to ask you as an illustrator, have you ever designed a tattoo for someone else? Has anyone asked you, hey, can you draw a tattoo?
No. I know other like Instagram cartoonists like Struthless. Do you follow that guy? He even did tattoos for a little while. But yeah, people who... end up with tattoos. If someone wants to get, if Childish Dino goes well and someone wants to get Childish Dino tattooed, then I'd sign off on that.
Would you design your own tattoo? Or is that, would you rather get someone else, like an illustrator that you liked? Would you rather have that on you or your own design?
Probably my own. Yeah.
A bit more kind of.
Look, I have a little minimalist
show us what you got.
Copy of the classic Love Heart with Mum.
Yeah, you got a little one.
I drew that.
It's probably like, 5 centimeters by 5 centimeters.
It's like the size of a 5-cent coin. Yeah.
Mm. I like it.
Thank you. Are you just saying that because you can't bear to tell me it's terrible?
Like, no, I'd like to have tattoos myself, but left it too late. And also,
what are you talking about?
My canvas is a little on the skimpy side. I don't. Although, actually, funnily now, a lot of skinny guys have like sleeves and stuff like that.
Yeah. They say no tattoos until you're 30.
Oh, now, do they? Okay.
Well, that's like, you know, when you know you're not going to regret it. So now I think I haven't followed through on it. It's like, if I want to get a tattoo, I'm going to get it.
You know, that Instagram has like different filters and there's one that will put tattoos all over you pretty well too.
Yeah.
Considering it's just like a cheap filter. And my wife was like, oh, do you want to consider that? Like she was like into it.
She liked your face tattoo.
Liked, not face tattoos, but she liked the sleeve and she didn't mind the neck tattoos either. And I was like, I don't know if I can go through with it now. It seems like a long process. And at 33, I think I've left it too late to start. I don't know if I can be
What do you mean? Are you going to
Well, that would be a whole change of identity. Oh, I would be a tattoo guy then. And I haven't been a tattooed guy for my whole adult life.
You feel like by your 30s, you can't suddenly show up as a wearing a bow tie. Like, you can't suddenly have a personality change.
Well, I feel like
change.
There's a lot that goes with it, with the music and the subcultures.
What are you talking about?
If I had sleeves, there would be an assumption that I would have some strong opinions about music, and I don't.
You can... A music or coffee, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, I'm into coffee. I could do that.
I feel like you can break down those barriers. You can be a comedy family man with sleeve tattoos.
Well, you know,
you can be the first.
I am such a perfectionist. I'd rather be one or the other. Like, I need to have none or be covered.
Okay, right.
You know, I can't have just a couple.
You can't dabble.
Yeah. So all right. I think that would be the issue.
So if you show up with... full sleeves and face, we know you.
You know
which
what
way
I just realized? Because I'm so skinny, I'm actually at an advantage because it would cost much less. I'd need less tattoos to cover me.
Yeah, you're wasting money not getting tattoos done.
Because if I was ripped, if I had huge biceps, that's going to be quite a costly exercise.
It's a lot of surface area to cover. We've gotten very distracted again.
I know. Sorry.
Ricky, how do you... No, it's good. I enjoy it. I'm just mindful because we're going to do Hello Ladies, the movie after this. We're at 46 minutes. Ricky had earrings when he was younger, but in his new romantic days. Did you ever have an earring?
Nope.
I did for one hot minute.
In the lobe or up higher?
Lobe. Always wanted an eyebrow ring because I was, pop punk. Blink-182. But then I just heard horror stories of, did you know there's a nerve in there that if you hit it, your face will drop? So, never did that.
Nose has come in and out over the years.
Yeah. Got an earring with the intention of then turning it into a plug because a girl I had a crush on just very offhandedly said, I reckon you'd look good with a plug.
That's actually
worse. Okay. And then I went home, got a stud, and then immediately took it out and started shoving knitting needles through it.
How did that go? Infected?
Oh, very badly. Not infected, but just blood everywhere. And then I gave up on it after about a week.
I'm realizing a few things about my wife today, actually, as I tell a few of these stories back to back. She has said to me also, like, even now at my age, she's like, if you wanted to get a stretch earring, I'd be fine with that. And I'm like, again, I think I've left it too late. I think everyone's trying to fill in their holes now.
Your wife wants you to be a skater boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm realizing.
She wants you to be in a ska band.
Yeah, well.
It's never too late, Zach. That's my message for today.
I think I drew, because I dressed up as, there's an English YouTuber that everyone says I look like. Oh my goodness, I forget his name. But he has
PewDiePie.
He has a little stretch thing. And I drew it on, because I was doing this thing where I was like, do I look like him? I tried to dress up like him. So I got a Nikko and I drew a circle on my ear. And my wife was like, you can get that if you want it. She didn't mind it.
The only thing my girlfriend wants me to get is a big car.
Like a four-wheel drive?
She really likes four-wheel drives.
Okay, that's interesting.
I go, what about the environment? She's like, yeah, I know, but...
What does she like about it?
I don't know. They're big.
Loud.
They're big and tough and can go places. I don't know.
I don't think
I get it. I'm actually... You can't see me driving a Nissan Patrol down the beach?
I could see you in a smaller four-wheel drive.
Yeah, that's funny you mentioned that. I have said, what about a Nissan X-Trail? could that achieve the same result? So they go into a song by Lil Kim featuring and Mr. Cheeks, which makes Steve laugh, the name Mr. Cheeks. And then we come back to break six. Ricky's been on holiday and had a productive time off, a thing that Carl can relate to.
But, when I came back from holiday, I've been on holiday for a week, and I sort of sat in by the pool and stuff, and I sort of wrote about 40-minute stand-up with my new show, and I was going to the car and said, it's great, when you get away, it's sort of like, you're relaxing, you just think clearly. He went, Ian, I know. He said, I was away when I came up with Rockbusters.
Yeah, indeed.
I was reading through Steve's website early this week. I sent you some screen grabs. We might talk about that in Hello Ladies. But he mentions he was on Blockbusters, the actual show. Is that mentioned in the...
In
the radio show?
I think so. So we played a clip from it in an earlier episode.
Yeah, I think I remember listening to it.
And he says I'd quite like to write and direct films.
That was from that, was it? Okay. Weird that they never mention it.
Yeah. Well, it's weird that they never plugged The Office during the whole run. So I'm predicting that that was, or I'm assuming that that was for his politics show, the material that he was writing, which is not bad. He talks about Carl in that show, actually. Might have been one of the first times I heard Carl's name, was watching that way back in the day. But yeah, sitting around the pool writing 40 minutes of stand-up, I think if you ask most stand-up comedians, that's not how you generate finished material.
No, is that, does he take it, he doesn't like practice it or anything, does he?
I know he is. I'm seeing on his Twitter and Instagram that he's doing warm-up shows for his next, but he goes, all right, next show, sort of like the Melbourne Comedy Festival, come up with the name first and then just try out material.
Yeah.
But the name is locked in. In break seven, Steve does a little birthday shout out, some classic radio gear. And then we get the Rockbusters clues, including one of the worst of all time that I absolutely love. Chanel have a new perfume out, N-O. Did you get any of these off the top?
No, I have that added difficulty that the references are from another country and 20 years ago.
You didn't know? Wait, I thought New Order. I know New Order,
but I'm not thinking of it.
Okay.
Because it's like, the span that we have to go from is so much more vast.
Yeah.
Whereas that, I imagine, is in their view at the moment that they're... Like, is that a bit band relevant to the XFM audience at the time?
Not always. Like Whitney Houston and Justin Timberlake. I do. It's one of the things I enjoy about the current communities, the Reddit, the Facebook groups, where people will chuck out Rockbusters based on current artists.
Oh, funny.
That's always good fun. In break eight, they get into Cheeky Freak of the Week. Carl says quite a lot going on in the freak world. He's got a date, 1693. He thinks conjoined twins are one person. He seems like Carl has run out of steam at the end of his story, but then turns out he actually was setting up his own joke.
And it all went wrong when he crossed the road, got run over. The lad with two heads got run over. That's it.
What? How is that Cheeky Freak of the Week?
Just because it got my interest and I kind of thought, why don't you just look both ways?
This segment does not last much longer, Zach. Let's move on to break nine. Steve gets a squeeze in on Carl's head.
Oops. Use the thing that's like
not
that.
Not too hard at the front?
No, really hard at the front and back.
There you go, yeah. You got the hang of it.
Oh, right. God, it's good fun. I see how you like it. Well, I'm just going to do the side. It's great fun.
Yeah.
It's great in that, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, grip there with the short hair, but obviously not too much. There's not much up there up top.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll be doing that again next week.
The sound is a bit uncomfortable.
I feel like it's sort of like when, in Avengers, when Captain America picked up Thor's hammer, you know, like that. Oh my God, Steve's now squeezing his head.
He can feel the power.
Carl filled in a form in at work asking if he puts himself in any danger and wondered if head squeezing should go on there. Funny. Carl's ultimate dinner party. Now, this is a bit of good fun. Just the most Carl list of people. Elvis, which Ricky had as well. Elvis, who not only who can't just attend, he has to be the entertainment for the night. Elvis, the Elephant Man, Peter Kay, Aaron Ralston, the 127 hours guy.
Yeah.
The woman in the boat who went around the world, and Kim Marsh.
It's Emma Watson, isn't it?
Huh?
The girl who went around the world, isn't that an Australian? Are they talking about the 16-year-old?
I wonder, because I did try to look it up. I went 2013, who went around the world.
Yeah, Emma Watson.
So Hermione Granger went around the world. Was this
look it up. I'm pretty sure it's the same
Harry
name.
Potter film?
I'm pretty sure it's the same name. Or I could be getting...
Because there was a teenage guy as well who did it in the 90s, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's from the Sunshine Coast, which is an hour away from where we are. Though I've seen the boat. It's in the Maritime Museum where I got this hat.
Yes, I remember her.
What's her name? Is it Emma Watson?
Yeah, but that was 2009.
Ah, not the same one. So the maybe they're referencing the guy who did it before?
No, he says it's definitely a woman. He also, because he comments on how her mum said, oh, you know, I was glad she was doing this because, you know, other kids just hang around. You know, on street corners or whatever, and say, oh yeah, it's much safer to send her out to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean so on her own.
How old was Emma? Did Emma break like an age record or something? Or was it that was just amazing.
Jessica Watson.
Jessica.
Ooh. Jessica Watson is an Australian sailor who was awarded the Order of Australia after attempting a solo global circumnavigation at the age of 16.
Did she not make it?
Yeah, attempted is a little bit like a dig. I don't know. We're going
doesn't matter
anyway. I feel like that might be a good drawing, that dinner party.
Yeah, maybe. That's true.
So I'll put a little note to come back to
who's,
that.
Who's the one that he's trolling with? Peter? I didn't know who that
Peter
person
Kay.
Is.
Peter Kay. Peter Kay is
that like
a comedian.
Another comedian?
Yeah, Peter Kay.
Who Ricky maybe feels like a bit of rivalry with?
Well, I think at the same, they had Phoenix Nights is a show that was out at the same time as The Office.
And it beat them.
And different places. It different award shows. It beat The Office.
Funny.
Which is not aged particularly well. I think anything beating, you know, it's like when Dances with Wolves beat Goodfellas at the Academy Awards. One of those movies is still talked about in high regard. Or when Crash won Best Picture. Anyway. Break 10, Nelson Mandela was on Ground Force, which is just remarkable. It's like finding out that Mother Teresa was on Trini and Susanna, whatever.
Yeah.
The Pope on Queer Eye. Yeah.
Do you have another robe?
Yeah.
Could we brighten it
just
up
like
a bit?
A true historical figure on a reality show is just a funny, strange concept to me. Monkey news. We get the magician in Morocco with the monkey who think there's a brighter future if they head to Spain. And then the story of them stopping at the petrol station before crossing the border. And then here's the big reveal.
And he's going, right, I'll pay for pump four. And the fella says, what are you talking about?
Pump four? Isn't that a monkey? No. Sometimes I use numbers for monkeys. Sometimes I use... No, I mean pump four.
Sure. Yeah, so he says, on. What are you talking about? There's no car at pump four.
Right.
Keep going.
You. Sticks his head out of the door. Yeah. The monkey's given it some. Went over to Spain on its own.
Steve, I don't know what to do.
Hang on, let's just get a couple of the facts right here.
What do you mean, couple of the facts? Right, there are no facts.
So it number 86.
Number 86
drove. He drove to Spain.
You are honestly, Carl. You must know.
It was an automatic.
One of the greats. And then finally, in break 11, we get the Rockbusters results, including the fantastic and
new
terrible.
Order.
Right. Well, that's another listener gone.
Cop this silence. Back update's about to kick in.
What do you mean? There's not a group called New Odor.
No, it's cryptic.
It's not, cryptic. That doesn't mean cryptic! Wrong doesn't mean cryptic! It's like saying, what animal am I thinking of? Frog. That doesn't mean cryptic. Sell Her Black. What artist is that? Small Faces works. Just about.
If I say what animal am I thinking of, what am I
monkey.
Thinking?
Monkey.
Well, there you go then.
And that's it for Series 2, Episode 40 next week. Series 2, Episode 41, which I already teased on the last show. So I'll just tell you again. How would Carl spend his last day on Earth if he knew the world was ending? How would Carl describe Steve to a waiter if he was meeting him at a restaurant? And more, all coming up next time on the Carly Pilk Boys. Zach, see you then.
Bye.
Went over to Spain on its own.
Steve, I don't know what to do.